got guests here this morning from ORCID, the Fighting Male Cancer charity. I love the work they're doing. I've been reading all about them ever since I've been knowing that I'm going to be interviewing them today. I'm really, really happy. Thank you so much for coming this morning.
Thank you for inviting us.
Oh, no, my pleasure. So we have Ali Orhan. Hello, Ali.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm pleased to be here today.
Yeah, you've got this great big smile. I love it.
Yeah. I've been supporters of Colourful for a number of years and given us the platform to be able to come to the studio. It's a great privilege and an honour. Thank you.
Oh, now your skin tone. Have you actually been out roaming around in the sun?
No, unfortunately, I have this kind of... this beige colour.
Oh, really? Is this just your natural?
It's my ethnicity.
So. Oh, it's beautiful. Because, you look totally like you've been tanned and really healthy. So you're just really healthy. You look after yourself well.
I try to.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I don't. But, you know, it's working. It's working for you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then also we have with us Suresh Rambaran. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And thank you for having us this morning.
You've got the biggest dimples. Loving it. I don't know why I'm getting so personal, but oh my goodness. Thank you, sir, for coming in today.
That's okay. And I'm pleased that Colourful Radio is invited us to raise or speak about this subject, which is a taboo among some of our men.
And right.
We need to discuss this and be more open.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go into that a little bit more, okay? So going back to Ali. So tell us a little bit about ORCID and then tell us why cancer is still such a taboo. So tell us.
ORCID. ORCID is the leading charity dedicated to supporting men and families with prostate, testicular and penile cancer. So we've been around for 21 years.
Wow, brilliant.
Just over. We are here to provide world-class research program, educational campaigns. We raise awareness and provide an extensive support service to people that are directly affected and those and families of those are affected as well.
Right. So how did you yourself get involved with ORCID? Are you one of the founders?
No, not at all. I've actually recently been employed by ORCID.
Brilliant.
This is my fifth week, would you believe?
Are you kidding me? But we were talking earlier and you were just so passionate about it and you were just... telling me everything about it. I mean, how...
It's an amazing charity. It's maybe not as big as some of the bigger charities you might be aware of or have heard about, but the work it does, it's groundbreaking. We really put the individual at the centre of our work.
Brilliant.
We're very kind of centre-focused in that sense. It's not necessarily about just making money. It's about really helping save lives and supporting people.
Fantastic. And then the charity like to support on both sides. That's what I kind of picked up as I was reading through the website and doing some research. It's like you not only want to support the people who are actually going through the cancer, but you want to support them after they've come
of
through
course.
The cancer. And then also the family of those and the people who have to support someone. Is that
exactly? I think, you've got to look at the individual holistically
and
as a complete unit. So they don't come in isolation. They come with family members. They come with partners. They come with children.
Right.
And we try to be there for all of them.
Okay, so talk to me. Why is the subject still such a taboo?
Well, the programme that I'm working on, it's a three-year lottery-funded programme. We were very fortunate enough to have applied for some funding from the lottery and were successful in our bid.
Brilliant. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We're really excited about the programme. It's a three-year programme. It's specifically targeted at Black African and Caribbean communities.
Right.
And the essence of the program is to help raise awareness, provide support, and work with healthcare professionals to be better equipped to work with communities in a more empathetic, sympathetic, and culturally appropriate manner.
Okay, I love that. I love that. So, Suresh, turning to you. So let's talk about the actual, the disease itself. I mean, are we still calling it a disease? How are we addressing cancer now? Because like we keep saying, and I really still want to get to the nitty-gritty of that cancer, and especially cancer within male, within the different organs, it can still be seen as such a taboo. Why? I mean, you know what I mean? So let's, first of all, tell us about the disease itself, and why are you talking particularly to the black community?
Well, firstly, about the taboo subject.
Yes.
Let me say, among our BME communities, we don't like to talk about cancer. We don't want to hear about it. Mm. That's how we brought up. And we need to be more open and frank about this. And this cancer is not catching.
Right.
It does not discriminate. And we as a people need to open up about this and thing. And by keeping it quiet from our children and whatever, we're not raising awareness. Now, about the disease itself, there are 200 different types of cancer. Prostate cancer is the highest cancer in men.
Wow.
In women, it's breast cancer, over 50,000 women. In men, over 47,000 men are diagnosed annually with prostate cancer.
Are we talking just the UK?
In the
UK alone?
47,000. By 2030, that is going to overtake breast cancer as the leading cancer in the UK.
Wow.
So prostate cancer is a very important subject. We know among the black community, well, in general, 1 in 8 men will develop prostate cancer in their lifetime. However, among the black community, 1 in 4. And important to raise awareness, a recent study suggests only 14% of black men, and that I mean black African, black Caribbean men, is aware of the high risk of developing prostate cancer. And the charity aim is to go around raising awareness about this particular type of cancer among our community, so our men can go and get checked early.
Right. Do you think it's a lack of awareness of the cancer itself, or do you think it's exactly what you said, that within our culture, for some reason, we could still consider it a taboo and something not to be discussed in public, and so therefore they keep it to themselves, even from their own family? Because I can't imagine that there's a lot of men out there who don't know. I mean, I don't know one woman who doesn't know about breast cancer, and yet I know thousands of women who don't check themselves or go and get checked.
Yes, I don't. You know, we have to take responsibility as men for our health.
Mm.
We need to be more proactive, and we bury our head in the sand. You know, we live
Absolutely.
In a society where we have good healthcare. It may have its faults.
Yeah, but it's very good.
And we need to make use of it.
Yeah.
We tend to ignore it because, as I say, we grew up with this taboo attitude. We don't want to know about cancer. That is a death sentence and blah, blah, blah. We need to we're living in 21st century. Times have changed.
Mm.
We need to raise awareness, or people need to take more active. You know, 1 in 4 black men is diagnosed with prostate cancer. And what is so bad, a lot of them have aggressive cancer. They're diagnosed too late to have curative treatment. Raising awareness, getting them checked early, catching the cancer early, means we can cure that cancer, offer curative treatment.
Right. So at what age would you say a man should be going to get himself checked?
Okay.
And even aware of it?
Okay. What we say to black African and black Caribbean men, because of your high risk, you go at age 45 and
really?
Ask your doctor for a check. Now, it's a bit controversial because there's no screening test. However, the government have something what they call the Prostate Risk Management Program.
Mm-hmm.
And at the age of 50, any man is entitled to go to their GP, have a discussion with their GP, and have a prostate check, which involves a blood test, and they may do a rectal examination, because that's where the prostate is situated.
Mm.
Not only a doctor, but you cannot self-examine.
Right, exactly.
So that's one of the things that put some of our men off, because our men have this macho image, and they don't want a doctor doing a rectal examination. What I say to our men, well, at least when you go and have your blood test, so you can use that as a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said the government guidelines is age 50. That's across the board. However, because you're a black man, or if you have family history of prostate cancer, we're encouraging men to go to the GP at age 45 and request a prostate check.
Brilliant.
And you have a discussion with your doctor, and then you proceed from there. And I would say, have it as a baseline. Some doctors will say to you, why do you want to have this test? You have no symptoms, and dismiss you. But it's your right, request it and have it.
Right. Right, good. Yeah, so I hope you're hearing this, people who are listening in, especially you young black men from 4 to 5 and upwards. Please make sure you go to your GP and ask, request for a prostate screening test. Then if they say no, insist upon it. Just insist upon it. For your own well-being and for your own safety. So what are the signs? So say like if someone's been and, you know, they went when they were 45, they were told, oh, you're totally fine. They've been tested. It's all good. And then a year later, they suddenly get what? What are they actually looking out for?
Well, firstly, is what we call lower urinary tract symptoms, which means water works problem. Passing urine more frequently, particularly at nighttime.
Okay.
Your urine flow is not as strong. You may have to rush to the toilet. It's called urgency.
Right.
Sometimes you feel your bladder is not completely emptied. These are the more common symptoms. But right. I want to make people aware, you can get these symptoms with other conditions. But if you have these symptoms, you go to your doctor.
Don't ignore them.
Yeah, you're not wasting your doctor's time.
Yeah.
A lot of men who will have these symptoms may have an enlarged prostate, which is a more common condition to affect the prostate and affects older men, right? So it's important that you go. So the doctor will do tests to check what is causing this. You could have an infection, can cause it. Diabetes can cause it as well.
Right.
But why do we sit home on our laurel and don't go and get checked? I do not know.
Exactly.
As I say, you know, in America, black men or black people over there, the healthcare system, how it is, they often are diagnosed late stage of the disease.
Yes.
And they cannot get curative treatment. Here in the UK, our health service may have it false, but it's the best thing in the world, far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
I'm very passionate about the NHS.
Yeah, me
too. You're not wasting your doctor's time by going and get checked. Now, the risk factors for prostate cancer, age, older you get, higher your risk. So 80% of men 60 and over will develop prostate cancer.
Wow.
So it really doesn't affect younger men under the age of 14, just a small numbers, double figures.
Right.
That's why we're saying there's no program to check from early age.
Yeah.
That's why we're saying age 45 and government guidelines is 50 for white men or other men.
Yeah.
But we're encouraging black men at age 45. The other risk factor is family history. So if you have a father, grandfather who is diagnosed, that increases your risk by 2.5 times.
Because then you could be carrying the same genes, basically.
Yeah. The other factor is ethnicity, and that's why we're here. Right. Black men and black African men are
high risk, one in four
chance of getting that.
Medically, why?
Well, we don't know conclusively why,
but
it could be due to genetics. And if you look at black men in America, the incident of prostate cancer is higher among them. If you look black men in the Caribbean, the incident of prostate cancer is higher among them.
Right.
And over here in the UK, we're seeing the same pattern. So if you look at the history of black people, and this is Black History Month.
There you go.
Our black people, where they were taken from.
Right.
West Africa.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
To all these places. So you see that link with West Africa, there could be this genetic link.
Right.
If you look at North Africans, and maybe East Africans, their incident perhaps of high risk is not perhaps as high.
Wow, that's fascinating.
So they're seen, but we need more conclusive evidence.
Yeah, so who's doing that research?
Well, in America, they're doing research. In this country, I know there's a project going on, a Jerome product. But they keep doing research, but you know,
they have
to look the genes in the cell. There could be other factors related.
Right.
Because we know in black men, they have a higher testosterone level, even women. That may contribute. The other thing I haven't come to is another recent study show men who is overweight have a higher risk, increased risk of getting aggressive prostate cancer.
Why?
Diet, again, is a query, a westernized diet. If you look at Western countries, prostate cancer is very high in Western countries.
Because it's the fatty foods? I mean,
well,
is it
high in saturated fat, high in dairy products, processed meat, red meat. You know,
oh, you're so just describing my breakfast. What can I tell you?
that may contribute. Again, we need more evidence. But, you know, eating a healthy diet, living a healthy lifestyle, yes, will help reduce your
risk. Reduce the risk. Because that's what we're looking at. We're looking at prevention as well. So, Ali, talk to me. How do people prevent getting this? What kind of lifestyle would you be encouraging our young black men to get into from when they're in their like teens? Because this is something that they want to carry on.
I mean, there have been a number of campaigns you will be aware of with a number of charities kind of promoting kind of healthy living, healthy lifestyles, kind of eating well, exercising, you know, moderate drinking, stopping smoking. I mean, the list is endless. And what we don't want to is be too prescriptive for the community. Right. You know, we don't want to go in and say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this.
Yeah, because then they'll start doing it.
What we want to say is that with certain conditions that we know not conclusively what causes it,
right,
we are reliant on people's own body awareness to know that there's something not quite right.
Yeah.
And it's when it's not quite right is that you then present to your GP. And I know for men, we're not as used to having that relationship with our GPs as maybe women might do with kind of childbirth and, you know, other kind of conditions they might present with regularly.
Yeah.
We still have this mindset that illness is a sign of weakness, and as men, we don't want to be seen as weak.
Right,
I know
it
seems a bit kind of archaic, but unfortunately,
but it's still there. It's still very, there. Very much there.
So we're trying to encourage men to kind of take note of their bodies.
Right.
Because only they know exactly what's wrong with them when they feel their body's out of sorts.
Yes, you know, exactly.
And it's when you then go back to your GP and relay that information to them, give them all the facts, give them the reasons why you think this way, what's changed, how it's changed, when it's changed,
right,
and let them make the necessary tests. And I know Suresh spoke about the blood test.
Yeah.
A simple vial of blood that's taken, sent off to the lab for to be checked. And then the digital rectal examination. And I know people squirm and clench whenever I say that word. and black men especially seem to think that there's something just not appropriate about having such a test like that. It's kind of an infringement on their manhood.
Right.
It might impose on their sexuality. And I've had men say, well, if I have this test, will it make me gay? Well, no. Your sexuality is a bit more complicated than just a medical procedure.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're encouraging. But for people to take action, they need to be aware, first of all.
Right.
And I think this is a way, platforms like this, radio stations, lending, giving time to talk about such issues, kind of helps raise the awareness. It plants that seed within people's minds as to, I heard that then. These were the symptoms. I haven't got all of the symptoms. Maybe I've just got one. Maybe I've been going up to the toilet two or three times a night, but I don't usually do.
There.
Then going and getting checked out.
Exactly.
That's what we do. And there is an obligation for, you know, for all charities that are working in the field to prioritise this population group.
Mm.
We know that they are at greater risk.
Right, exactly.
So that there is your basis for why there is a need there.
Right.
And some charities do prioritise and some don't. But it's more than just about major big campaigns and major billboards
that
state facts. You know, as a community, we need more than facts.
Yeah.
We need the advice, the support, the direction, the hand-holding
to be able to take that action. Ownership.
Yes.
Right? Because unless they take the ownership of this in their own health, it's like black men, I think, are very, very proud on their looks. They will really put a lot of effort into how they look, how they present themselves, how they come across. So why is it so different? Why will they put so much effort into their physical external and not as much pride and care into their internal?
Because your external is what you present to the outside world, and that's what people see. Your internal is just something that is between you and yourself.
Or so you think, and yet that's not true, is it?
No. And a lot of cases where men are actively bullied, I should say, or encouraged to go to the GP, it's usually the partners that have noticed a change in their pattern.
Right.
That have really
gone after them and said, come on, you've got to do this.
And I've known of women, actually, partners have made the appointment for their partners and said, you're going.
Exactly, and pretended that they were taking them to the zoo. We're going to the zoo, baby. And then suddenly they're not. They're at the doctor's and they're getting themselves checked out.
And as Suresh said, you know, it's all about early detection.
Right.
You know, with prostate cancer, is, like most cancers, if it's caught early, you have a better prognosis.
Right, and
exactly. Better outcomes.
Exactly. So this is what's frustrating me. It's the fact that we know if it's caught early enough, they don't have to die. It's not necessarily a death sentence, but it's only if it's caught early enough. And so we've got to try and get through to our men. I don't want to lose any more of our young black men. I mean, 45 is too young, 50 is too young, 60 is too young, you know what I mean? When it's something that can be cured, we really want our young black men to get out there. No more dying of this cancer if you can help it. Don't let it be because you left it too late. So anyway, we're gonna have a little bit of music, we're gonna chill a little bit, because I really want to give you guys time who are listening in, time to just digest everything that we're saying, to, you know, really look at your life. I want you to, you know, even, you know, while you're getting yourself a cup of tea or a beer or whatever you do at 10:40 in the morning, just take a moment and look at your patterns and think honestly to yourself, have you seen any difference in your patterns? Is there anything kind of out of whack with your body? You know, and just get real with yourself, please, for the sake of your wife, for the sake of your mother, for the sake of your children, for the sake of the people who love you, even if it's not for your own sake, even if you're not going to put yourself first, just do it at least for the sake of those who you know will be heartbroken if anything happens to you. So we're going to have a little bit of music and then we're going to come straight back after this.
Jacqueline Malcolm. Jacqueline Malcolm.
Okay, so that was Every Little Thing I Do. You're on my mind, you're on my mind. By Soul For Real. Thank you for that, guys. Okay, so I'm back here with Ali and Suresh from Orchid. And we've been talking a little bit while that music was going out. So, guys, I'm going to ask you both one question each because we're coming down to our last 5 minutes. So you've got 10 black men standing in the room with you, aged between 45 and 60. Ali first. What would you say? You've got them, they're a captive audience. What would you say to those 10 black men right now?
That their lives are important, that their lives do matter, and it's only by them taking action in regard to safeguarding their future and their health that are they going to be able to live long enough to be able to be there for the ones they love. So ensuring that they are self-aware, they are health-aware, and that they have this relationship with their GPs where they're able freely to go along, go into dialogue without any shame or kind of fear or guilt, and take the necessary steps necessary to make sure they get diagnosed if need be.
Right, love that. I would listen to you if you said that to me.
Thank you.
Yes, I would. How about you, Suresh? What would you say to these 10 black men standing in the room?
Well, I will endorse what Ali says, and especially if we are 10 black men, I'll remind them, one in four of you, that's two among the 10 of us, will develop prostate cancer in their lifetime. And, you know, we need to take action. You need to be aware. And just to go back, you don't have to have symptoms to be diagnosed with prostate cancer. A lot of men will have no symptoms. And therefore, that is why it's so important that they go at age 45 to their GP.
Yeah.
If you have from Black African or Black Caribbean background or family history of prostate cancer, you go at age 45 and request a prostate check.
Right.
And the prostate check is a blood test, which we said before, it's called PSA, prostate specific antigen. It's a protein released by the prostate gland that is present in the blood. And if that is abnormal, they can
That's
do further tests.
Okay, brilliant. So they really want to, they just go in and ask for a PSA test.
Yes.
But even if they don't go for a test, the test isn't the actual outcome. That they go into and enter into dialogue with their GP and have this discussion about the kind of their concerns and let the GP kind of direct them into the best course of action.
That's brilliant. I mean, I love that. Shivesh, you're biting at the bit to say something.
No. I would say, because as you know, we're coming to the end of the program, if anyone need further information, they should ring ORCID Cancer Helpline, Male Cancer Helpline.
Yes.
It's free and confidential, and the number is 0808-802-0010. I'll repeat that. 0808-802-0010. We also have a website, and that's orchidcancercharity.org.uk.
Brilliant. So you've heard it here. You know exactly how to get a hold of ORCID and these guys, and to really make yourself way more aware. But so my last question then is, why isn't there more screening? Ali, why is, I mean, like for me, for my smear tests, I'll get a letter from the NHS every single year saying, the last date you had it was this date, it's time for you to come back. And they've actually booked me a date with my GP. I don't have to do a thing. I just have to turn up and have my smear test done. Why isn't that done for the men,
yeah.
Suresh?
Okay. The PSA test that I spoke about, it's not 100% accurate. It's 80% accurate.
Okay.
20% false negative, 20% false positive. So you could have a normal reading and have prostate cancer. Abnormal reading and don't have prostate cancer. So if you have it as a screening tool, a lot of men will get unnecessary invasive investigation.
Right, okay.
It's a baseline to see if something is wrong with the prostate.
Right.
Nowadays, we have a scan. If your result is abnormal, they can do a special scan called a multi-parametric MRI scan, where they will scan the prostate. If they see something abnormal, then they will do a biopsy.
Right.
Previously, based on the PSA result, they would biopsy, and often they would find no cancer because we didn't have that scan.
Right.
But because the test is not accurate, the government decided to have the prostate risk management program, where we can go and make an informed choice at the age 45 or 50 and have this test. But as I'm saying, I would encourage men to do the test as a baseline. So if I do it at age 45, then I go back every year and have it done. The test is not expensive, and the GP will do it for you. Some might be a bit reluctant, but you have to be firm and get it done.
Get it done, absolutely. And, you know, if you were listening in and you heard the words, oh, well, it's not conclusive and it's not, you know, 100% accurate, don't forget, neither are condoms. There is nothing that is 100% accurate, but we still all do it. So please don't let that put you off. Don't, you know, start thinking, oh, it's not even worth my time then. It is 100%, because at least it's 80% accurate. And I'd rather go for 80% accurate than nothing at all. So please don't let that put you off. Please still make sure you go and get that PSA test done.
Exactly. We shouldn't use that as an excuse.
Exactly.
It's you know, it's there to be, you can still have it.
Exactly.
The only thing, it's not a screening program. You can request it. So right. It's there for your service, for you to ask.
Just go in and ask for it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is wonderful. Well, this has absolutely been brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ali. Thank you, Suresh. You've been very informative, very engaging, and speaking to the men out there, please make sure you visit. If you're 45 and above, go visit your doctor, visit your GP, whether you're having symptoms or not. But especially if you're having symptoms, especially if there's something askew, something just not right. So this has been Jacqueline Malcolm on Jabba Talk with Ali and Suresh from ORCID, the Fighting Male Cancer Charity, which we absolutely love, we applaud. Can you give us the website one more time, please,
Ali? It's orchid-cancer.org.uk.
Brilliant. So make sure you check that out, orchid-cancer.org.uk. Please check that out today. And if you have any more questions, you can also WhatsApp me on 07931 142755, and then we'll be able to send you all the information.